Opening theme song. It's just a placeholder. Hey, welcome back to the Justin and Heidi Unfiltered podcast. I'm Justin Metcalf.
And I'm Heidi.
Metcalf. Can you hear her roll her eyes at me? Hey, so we're still talking about mindset. This topic has now spanned 5 episodes. There's just so much to go into. So, yeah, we're going to keep moving right along. All right, so we're going to start with a question. I'll ask it, and then you can answer, and I'll answer, and we'll go from there. When did you first realize the power of mindset in your own life?
So that's one where I don't know that I can say there was a defining moment, because I don't know if I believe you're born with a specific mindset, but I definitely believe that your environment creates your mindset.
How do you mean?
Just the way that you're raised and how those situations in life, how you deal with them or how your parents deal with them, just
they help
is going to influence
and cultivate.
The way you think about things and how you think about things.
Yeah. Well, if I'm answering this question, when did you first realize the power of mindset in your life? I would say through my second upbringing.
Your marriage?
Yeah. I mean, my parents did a great job, I think. I'm a fairly well-rounded individual. I never had any trauma until I got married, ironically.
I believe your therapist would say otherwise.
I think there were inklings here and there. You know, like you would tell me something's just in my head, and I'd roll my eyes because, like, that's not how that works, Heidi. It's not just in your head. So there would be moments throughout our marriage when you would say something like that, and even if I rolled my eyes, I'd remember it. And eventually, I started hearing from other sources. You know how when parents tell their children something and they don't listen, but then if the children hear it from somebody else, they're like, wow, that's really, yeah, that's, you're smart.
Yeah.
And parents have already said it. Same basic principle. I heard it from other people. But then I remember that you had said it for years, decades. You know, it's in your head. And I started to really understand what it's in your head means. My attitude is controllable. The way that I perceive things is controllable to an extent. And just a lot more was in my head than I really understood. So that's when I started to grasp the idea and the understanding of mindset. And most of that has come in the last few months. And I'm really excited for what the next several months have to offer. Hmm. So anything further on that? Aha moments of your...
No, but I mean, just in daily interactions, it becomes more and more apparent. We've talked about that top 20 and the bottom 20%, and then there's that middle 60. Mm-hmm. But in the daily interactions, it's more and more apparent who really are the people that are in the top.
Yeah.
Because it's all in how they react to different circumstances, different things that are happening to them.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, because even in our interactions, I can tell when you're not in a good place because of the little things you start doing again.
Mm-hmm.
The critical things you start thinking or seeing again.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the right mindset, the little things that other people do that bother you, they're not as apparent.
I'd agree with that. I would, because I spent how much of my life, it's been maybe a year or two ago when I really started to say, you know, those little things like people chewing with their mouth open or talking in a theater or at all.
Breathing,
existing. These things would drive me crazy. All of these other people on the planet. How dare they? And you said something very important to me that stays between me and you and my diary.
And your therapist.
The point is that that moment that we had in the discussion was when I decided, yeah, I don't need to be like that. That doesn't have to control and define me. And we should have Ryan on and share his amazing story. That was amazing. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit more about mindset, where it starts, because the next question I had is, it's an interesting one. And we kind of go into the nature versus nurture debate. Is mindset something you're born with, or is it developed? And how much can we really change it?
Well, like I said, I don't think you're born with a specific mindset. I do think that you are born with specific talents and maybe traits that definitely will play into how strong your mindset can be one way or the other.
I'd agree with that. I think you just have a natural affinity to understand mindset and control yours.
Right. But it's not that you couldn't get to the point where I'm at with mindset.
Right. But I also didn't spend much time in my life nurturing it.
Yes. And that's the difference is I do think it is a trait that needs to be nurtured, but I don't think I don't know, because the natural man, like even in the Bible, putting off the natural man and stuff. So, I mean, there is a point in which all of that plays into your mindset.
Yeah.
But I still don't think it's something that, like, you were born this way, you can only be this way. I don't know if I believe that. Not like a talent.
Right. When it comes to understanding mindset.
Right.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I'm proof of that. Because my whole life, I didn't agree with it. That's just not how I am, Heidi. You know, you can do that. I can't. I don't have that ability. And I started changing behaviors. And I realized that it could happen.
Yeah. It's hard. And I think one of the things that needs to just be stricken from the English language and narrative is I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've debated this with other people before. Again, I do think there are things that we're born naturally to do, talents that we have that we're stronger at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that means we can't do anything. I think we can. If we put our mind to it and we really want to do something, and if you had a gun to your head and they said, do this or die, I believe you would be able to do it. I do.
Yeah.
But would you love it? Is it something you're going to cultivate? Is it something you're going to be really, really good at? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I think for me, and I hope I'm not alone in this, but I had to get to a certain point in my life, you know, that we'll call it the gun to the head moment, where it was really like an ultimatum. It wasn't quite an ultimatum. It's just like a, you know, what are you doing with your life kind of thing? You know, and you're helping me understand these are things that I can control about myself. And those other factors are not controllable. I cannot control if other people talk in the theater. And we can argue about this, because people can say, well, yeah, well, what if you go get an usher? I've done that. Does not make it any better.
No,
I've turned around and said, hey, can you please be quiet? I almost got in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of that makes anything better. But when I just focus on what I can control, which is how I'm enjoying the movie, then, it's hard. But eventually it got easier.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we go very often, but still I can go and not have a miserable time because of the people around me.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, there are definitely times when you're like, oh my gosh, you hear the things around you. And again, I do feel like it depends on, I think largely what's going on in your own life that makes you so aware of your surroundings.
Yes, I definitely would agree with that, because I've had many moments of heightened anxiety and anxiety for one, you know, any strong emotions that you're feeling, they're going to heighten things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be more susceptible to hearing noises that are going to aggravate you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just one example. I think having high stress is going to exacerbate any issue when it comes to mindset.
Definitely. But I do find it interesting when people talk about like high stress careers or high stress jobs or anything that causes anxiety. For me, it's kind of one of those where it's like, so what are you doing to control that?
I love that you asked that, because my next question I was going to say is, what's one mindset practice or tool that you use regularly to help you out? So when you ask, what are you doing about that? Now, I don't know if a lot of people have an answer, because I don't think that it's a regular practice for people to address it, especially when they have a mindset like mine, like this is just how I am. I can't control that. So now through painstaking trial and error and getting into therapy, talking with you and having open dialogue with other people and being open-minded, I have realized that I've got things that I can do every day to help me have a positive mindset. And it comes back to things we've already discussed, like positive affirmations, practicing gratitude. That's been one of the biggest things for me, is focusing on positive things. But then also, I think the most important thing is focusing on things that are within my control. Mm-hmm. That was the number one thing that I removed from the situations, and they've almost all improved. Almost any situation I can think of, when I've removed the fact that I'm not going to beat my head up against the wall trying to change something that I have no control over, it just went away because I had new choices. Oh, I can just walk away. I'm not invested in this. Mm-hmm. I can leave. That's probably the best one, is just walk away.
That is one of the best ones, honestly.
Yeah.
So when I think about jobs specifically, I'm a hairdresser, so that's the one I'm going to talk to, because that's the one I know. And for me, like it's November. We are in the holiday time for hairdressers. And everyone wants to look good in November and December. They've got parties, they've got families, they've got family pictures. Mm-hmm. So this is the stressful, busy time of year for a hairdresser, more so than other times. And one of the things that I learned really early on in my career is I can only control what I can control. So think ahead, reschedule my clients, and let them know. Like, I've been scheduling clients for November and December since, you know, July, September, because if they schedule every 8 weeks, that puts us like one more step towards the holidays, to where it's like, if I'm booking them right now and they're booking for October, I know we need to start talking about the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, okay, let's book your next appointment. Oh yeah, that you're going to be coming. Oh, that means that, do you want to book now for the holidays as well? Cause then you'll get whatever spot you want,
right?
Because it's not full yet. And for me, I learned that's within my control. Mm-hmm. And they might be like, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing yet. So, but see, now it's in their court. Mm-hmm. Now they're thinking about it. And so they'll either text me sooner than later once they figure out what's going on. And most of my clients that are regulars that are like, it's every 8 weeks, every 6 weeks, like it doesn't matter. They just know they're going to want it in 6 weeks. Right. Then they're like, yeah, let's do that. Because they know, even if I have a party, it's probably on a Friday or Saturday. So if I come during the week, I should be fine. I know what my work schedule is. I work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you know? Mm-hmm. So I learned early on that's within my control. The thing I can't control, what if they get sick?
Right.
What if they need to reschedule because they do have something that came up? Those things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now I can get really irritated and be like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. You can't schedule, you can't move, you can't do any of these things. Or I can go in with the mindset of, it's probably going to happen.
Right.
It's human nature. I've been doing this for 25 years. There is bound to be somebody that's going to either cancel because they're sick, and I would rather they do that than come in and get me sick.
Right.
Or something comes up. So I can just know, and my family all knows, I'm going to be busy. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to work. I don't work Mondays. I'm probably going to be working a couple Mondays.
Yeah.
I don't usually work later on Fridays and Saturdays. I might be. I usually take off in the middle of the day to pick up kids from school and, you know, do the mommy thing. I might not do that. I might need help during those times.
Yeah.
Not every day. Not every time.
No, but you plan ahead, and we know ahead of time.
If you just plan ahead. So could this is, like, for most people, this is such a busy, stressful time, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
If you keep things within your control and you look at what could possibly happen and plan for it.
Right.
So I would say the same thing for people in high stress jobs. What makes it high stress? Deadlines. Okay. Well, how do you control that? Unexpected things. Okay. Well, how do you control that?
Mm-hmm.
It might be they're not hairdressers, but we all have the same, that's what makes them high stress.
Right.
So how do you control that? If there is no way of controlling that, you got to go to the drawing board and figure it out. Because there is a way.
A lot of times it's setting boundaries.
Setting boundaries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when people try to put measures on you and deadlines and things that are unreasonable, then yeah, you have to set boundaries.
Yeah. But and that's the thing, is it's like if your boss is coming to you saying, this came up and now this needs to happen and I need this done by this time, okay. That means this isn't gonna happen.
Right.
Is that like setting a boundary, right?
Right. Understanding you've got to probably move some of your workload to another time or pass it to someone else.
Right.
Bring that up with the person who's asking you to do this new thing.
Yeah.
It's reasonable.
And I will say this, like, even if I do have a guest that needs to reschedule their appointment because of something,
mm-hmm.
I'll do my best to work around that. But if I don't have anything, because I also have a life and family and kids and parties, then the possibility of that being moved to not the ideal time for them,
mm-hmm.
they know that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right?
But, and it's one of those where, yes, but it is one of those where it's like, but I get cancellations. Mm-hmm. People get sick. If that happens, would you like me to contact you? I mean, 99% of the time the answer is yes, please. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, after all, I'm not a doctor and I'm not saving lives. It is hair.
Yeah.
It's important. I like to think my job is important.
I think a lot of people would agree.
But you're not going to die if it doesn't get done.
Right.
I've yet to lose a client that way.
Right. That would be a first, I think.
That would be a first.
So thinking about some other areas, I can't help but think about, like, entrepreneurs. So when I say entrepreneur, so somebody that's a very successful business person, is anybody specific come to mind?
Me.
Of course. Great. You have already been the protagonist for our story. You've already been an example. So let's think of somebody else.
I don't have any specifics.
I think of Donald Trump. And okay. This is not a political thing. So whichever side of the aisle you're on, just calm down. Let's talk about Donald Trump as a business person. How do you think mindset plays a role in his success and failures?
So this is interesting because, you know, after the elections, his name has come up quite a few times, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to be in the position that he's in without learning a lot of things along the way.
Right.
One of the major things that I've noticed with this campaign, as opposed to his last campaign, and I don't watch the news and I'm not on Twitter, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt.
Sure.
He has addressed the country very much differently than he did the first time.
I think that we could probably all agree on that, yeah.
Like, he's not on Twitter saying, I mean, he's... I feel like he really grew more the last 4 years in just his presentation,
mm-hmm.
and how he is putting himself out there,
yeah.
than he did the first 4 years. Now, if you ask me, that means he's got an open mindset to change.
Yeah.
What he does with that, how he does that, I mean.
Sure. And we're not debating what kind of president he is or was or will be.
Right.
But the point is that he has had a very illustrious career.
Right.
Take the moments before his presidency. He's had many, many ventures. He's declared bankruptcy multiple times. And he has bounced back multiple times.
Right.
And that was just the first one that came to mind. This really was not planned. what I think of others, like Mark Cuban. Mm-hmm. Like he's now regularly on the Shark Tank, I think, you know, because he's, you know, one of the most successful billionaires. And there's a lot of people who are very successful people who I believe can be quoted saying things that are important about mindset. Because they're not the kinds of people who are just going to let things that are within their control stop them from being successful.
Right.
Elon Musk. There's another one.
I actually was thinking Elon Musk. And I was actually thinking, I don't know his name, but the Amazon guy.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. I know his name. I just couldn't think of his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's just it. If you take America as a country as a whole, the people who are rich in it, there are people who are born into money, got that, right?
Yeah.
There are some lucky, but I would say that's less than 1%.
Yeah. Most people,
I don't know,
earn it. I mean, we're talking about those people. It's also not something that happened overnight.
No.
Like these people's careers, it took a long time. Like you can go back to Amazon at its very beginning, and it's different, much different now than what it originally started being, which was books.
Yeah.
Just books. And then they went to e-readers, and then they became what they are now.
Yeah. Like a whole store, a whole ship, everything. And
ship I mean,
same with Mark Zuckerberg. Look at where Facebook started and look at where all the thing Meta now.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's Sam Walton, Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of examples that we can look at.
Yeah.
What about athletes? So think of please say Tom Brady. Who is the greatest athlete?
You know, I'm going to say Peyton Manning. But I will say, here's why I say Peyton Manning, one of the first reasons why. He just seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't met him, but I want to say, yeah, he really is.
Like, I think if you were to meet him, and I'm not saying that Tom Brady wouldn't be the same way, but I don't get the same feeling.
Sure.
And there's nothing really to back that up. So I've never met either of them. Couldn't tell you either.
So his roast, he took it really well. But I think the point here is still the same with, let's say, both of them. Okay. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Taylor Swift.
I was going to say the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, you Swifties. We put her on the map. Okay. The NFL has been very good for her career.
Yeah, that quarterback is so famous because of Taylor Swift.
He's a tight end and you know it. Okay. Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen. I mean, they're all from the Bulls. But anyway.
I know. I'm like, that's funny. Jazz fan, where's Karl Malone and John Stockton?
They know where they are. The point is, all of these people have mindsets that are growth mindsets, and it's proven by the way that they work day in and day out. These people didn't get to where they are in their sports careers or where they were at their peak by just giving up.
Right.
They worked at it day in and day out to be the absolute best of their time and in their sport. And I think the same could be said for Olympic athletes all over the world.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, we've said it before, you've got the top 20% and the bottom 20%. It works for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually talking to a client today she's from South Africa and she's now an American citizen. She's very happy to be here, but she was talking a lot about South Africa. And one of the things, it's a democracy there as well.
Mm.
But one of the things that's tanking her hometown is in South Africa, the government has stepped in so much that the taxes there are outrageous, but they don't take, the taxes aren't used for what it should be used.
Gotcha.
So they take care of the people so much that nobody works. And those who do work get penalized because they're taxed so heavily that they're all moving out of South Africa. The ones who want to be earners and want to be rich,
mm-hmm.
or want to even just have a decent living, want to be able to live well, because the money isn't going to their roads, their environment, their people. The taxes are going to just pay people to sit around and do nothing.
Right.
And that was, I find, again, I'm not on a political rampage or anything, but one of the reasons I voted the way I did is because when I heard, I was a part of this 4 years and I liked everything and I'm not going to change anything. Well, I don't like what happened the last 4 years. So yeah. I'm not going to vote for that to continue. Let's see what this does.
Right. Yeah, I think the important thing to realize there is that you're, I mean, that's how you use your mindset, you know, and that's, again, political things aside, it's, you know, you've got to make your choices. All right. So anyway, let's move on to, I've got a question for you. What advice would you give someone struggling with a negative mindset? And we can do this in two parts, within our industry and then maybe in general.
I think I don't think my advice would change.
Fair enough.
Because if you're struggling with a negative mindset, you got to start looking at the gratitude journal. Mm. You have to put yourself in a positive mindset. So that's daily affirmations, gratitude. What brings you joy? Honestly, what brings you joy? What makes you feel like that? Because you can't change who you are unless you like who you are. And if you're a stressed out, anxious ball of a mess, how do you change that?
Hmm. Yeah, I think there are instances where you can change yourself if you don't like who you are. I don't know if you'll have a clear vision. It's probably harder, but at least accepting who you are.
Yeah. It's funny because it brings to mind that video we watched when we were in seminary. Mohana, you ugly.
Mohana, you ugly. She was a six cow wife.
But that's mindset. When you tell someone their whole life, you're ugly, you're stupid, you can't do this, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Mm-hmm. What do they take away from that? You can't.
Right.
But when you start telling yourself, no, you can, you mm-hmm. can, it might be hard, it's going to be difficult, but you can, like literally just tell yourself you can. Every time yeah. you think I can't do something, the first thing you should do is say, no, I can. Mm-hmm. Do I want to? Right. And what will it do?
Yeah.
Those yeah, are different.
Understanding the difference there is a big deal. I think it goes back to your comment about upbringing. You know, if people have been torn down their whole lives, it is pretty common to see that be their own trauma. Maybe not one traumatic event, but just traumatic childhood with no support. There are a lot of people that grew up in that kind of scenario who never really can amount to anything. And that sucks because they don't deserve that. Nobody does.
No, nobody does. But that's where, and that's where it's really hard with the nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Because even if you're growing up in a place where it's like, don't do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You can't do this. You can't do that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. That can be really hard to be open-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the point there is probably delivery and explanation. Because if you say to your kids, you can't do this, and that's it, and they don't have a way context. To ask questions and they don't have context, that's probably not going to go very well.
It builds walls, right?
Yeah.
And when you're building walls, you don't see the possibilities behind it.
Yeah.
And so I think the funny thing with how I grew up was, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're all human. Mm-hmm. So it's not like my parents ever said, you can't, you shouldn't, you would, like, you know, of course that was part of the upbringing, but it does come with, I don't want you to do that because, or no, let's do this. Like there, it's yeah. a redirect or it's a.
But they explained it so that your curiosity is at least satiated or.
Well, and I do believe that we grew up in a family where we communicate, we talk, we yeah. fight.
Boy, do you ever communicate.
And fight.
Yeah.
But it was also one of those where it's like, because they didn't shy away from us having an opinion.
Right.
Or voicing it.
You guys will fight, but you'll still have dinner together.
Like, within seconds.
I never understood that.
I know.
No, when you fight with someone, they're your enemy.
And you leave.
You leave or they leave.
And you don't talk until they apologize.
You say apologize like that because you're making a point that's ridiculous. Yeah. I feel like that's what you're, that was intentional. All right, look. It's been a half an hour and we're closing out our series on mindset. Is there anything else that you think you would like to leave our 17 listeners with currently?
We'll 17, be... I thought it was 5. I actually thought like maybe 1, but
stop it. Thanks for listening, Holly. Is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with that you think is just either something we haven't covered or just a point that you think is most important when it comes to mindset?
2 things.
I said 1.
Nope, 2 things. You can, but figure out what you can control.
You can, but figure out what you can control. Okay. I think the last thing I would add is just, not add, but just reiterate the importance of being open-minded. I mean, if you're not open to the possibility of a mindset shift, there won't be one. Mm. It's not going to happen.
Those people stopped listening on episode 1.
So the last thing that I'll say is we've got a call to action. We want to encourage people to implement 1 new strategy for improving your mindset. There's a lot that we talked about. There's a lot of things that you can, like if you're super motivated and you want to try to implement all these things that you learned, if you're like me, you're going to fail. I wouldn't recommend that. Try just 1 strategy. And we'll leave you with this quote. This is from Theodore Roosevelt. Believe you can, and you're halfway there. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.